With the release this week of Apple's iPhone 5, the Pew Research Center reports 45% of American adults own smartphones. They are particularly popular with young adults and those living in relatively higher income households. 66% of those ages 18 to 29 own smartphones, and 68% of those living in households earning $75,000 or more also own them. Duh. Right? Our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, says there is more to the story. Jesse provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. He's the author of a number of books, the latest being what?
Sam's Teach Yourself Objective-C in 24 Hours.
Excellent. A lot you can do in the 24 hours.
It has a surprise ending.
His website is northcountryconsulting.com. It's always a great pleasure to welcome Jesse to the program. Thank you for being with us.
Good to be here.
I told this story at the beginning of the show. I was in Manhattan yesterday. I'm walking down the street, and I literally almost fell over some people who were lying in the street, sitting in the street, standing in the street, and I didn't know what was going on or what they were waiting for, or tickets were going on sale or whatever, and it quickly became apparent that they were outside of the Apple Fifth Avenue Apple store, lining up already in queue for the iPhone 5 release on Friday. I was a bit stunned by this, but I traveled on.
You don't recognize a good money-making opportunity when you see it, do you?
You know, like sell them soda?
Well, that's one possibility, but you should have asked, good news person that you are.
Yes.
You should have asked how many of them were in line in order to sell their place in line on Craigslist.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That is fascinating, as is the immediate return of because they have sold out of putting it out on eBay and making, obviously, more money. It is fascinating. So we use these numbers that we find out as a jumping-off point to talk about smartphones and our reliance on them. I have to say, I was interested in the numbers because, to me, as interesting it is that 45% of American adults own smartphones, is that 55% of American adults do not.
And there's something that's even more interesting. These are numbers from Pew, which yeah. does this tracking survey, asking more or less the same questions at once or twice a year. The best numbers that I know of for digital divides and things like that come from Pew and from the FCC. And last spring, they released some numbers about what had happened to smartphone adoption ownership over the last year. And I'm just looking at it now, and there's links on the website to it. There's links at it, for instance, for total adults in May of 2011 to February of 2012, almost a year later, the ownership of smartphones went from 35% of all adults to 46%, up 11%.
Wow.
In less than a year, which is really remarkable. And that more or less goes for every income category, every age group, every education level. And then from February 2012 to the numbers that they released last week, there's almost no change.
Really?
Yeah. So much so that even though there is a sentence in the recent report pointing this out, I even contacted them and I said, are the numbers right? Because it's very, very peculiar that you're getting overall changes of, I'm just looking, 11%, 6%, and so forth, going up within a period of less than a year. And then in 6 months, nothing. So have we reached a plateau of smartphone ownership? Or have you already spilled the beans about what's happened?
Are we, how manipulative can those numbers be in the sense of if there is a huge release like the iPhone 5, that has an impact, or a huge release
from
Google?
That's exactly what I suspect is happening.
Yeah.
Because we've already seen Apple already reported it, I think, in the last quarter that iPhone sales were a bit lower than they had been. And that's because they've announced a new product. It always happens. with Apple and with other companies too, people say, you know, they say with cars sometimes, you know, there's going to be a new model coming out, you know, in 2 months. Is it worth? There are two kinds of people in the world, the people who say, let's wait for the new one, and the people who say, let's get the cheap one, the old one.
Right.
So the numbers are, the fact that they seem to be leveling off, I think, is a little bit of a distortion due to iPhone 5. But as you said, the numbers are enormous. And we're at a level with 45% ownership. Sometime within the next year, within 2013, I would guess, we're going to break through 50%, where more than 50% of the population has a smartphone. And that, I think, is a major psychological point, because it means that people, all sorts of things will follow from it. People who are developing or maintaining websites are going to have to recognize the fact that many of the people who are looking at their websites are going to be doing it from a smartphone on the move, which has lots of impacts on how you build a website, because you have to start making sure the website functions properly for touch, all the things that go along with smartphones. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's going to have a ripple effect, because we have some very antique websites out there. And it's also bringing up again the issue that we talked about, not just us, but many people talked about a number of years ago, about a digital divide in this country.
Mm.
Because, and we still have it. And if you look at the numbers from the FCC, it's much less than it was. But the digital divide is based on things like education, income. In smartphones, we don't see one so much on ethnicity. But we certainly see ownership of smartphones in people who are somewhat younger than we perhaps are.
Mm-hmm.
The largest cohort is 18 to 29, and 66% of them have smartphones.
Yeah.
And then 65 plus is 11%. And this starts, just as it did with all of the other aspects of the digital divide, it starts bringing things into question, because since websites on smartphones and all communications on smartphones can be different than they are on desktop devices or laptops, are different stories being told to different age groups because the smartphones are presenting information in a way that they know is going to younger people?
I started to poke around, and I couldn't find the information, and maybe it was right in front of me, and I just didn't see it. But is there a large differentiation between smartphones and cellular phones? Meaning, do we know?
Do you mean feature phones?
Is that what they're referring to them? Okay,
yeah.
Feature phones.
Feature phones, as opposed to smartphones, are phones. I'm not making this up. Without the features of smartphones.
That makes no sense. No wonder I didn't find it. Okay.
I didn't make up the term.
No, I know you didn't. I know you didn't. So a phone, a featureless phone, in the sense of just a phone that is made for, here's something, making a phone call.
And texting.
Of the 46% that we have in the smartphone, if you include smartphones in that, how many of us have some sort of
some kind of smart
device
or feature,
yeah,
phone? I seem to recall it's about 85%.
Okay.
I think I saw that. Yes. Well, Pew puts it backwards, or the other way around. 15% of American adults have no cell phone at all.
Okay. So if you look at those numbers, at least on the 45%, there is obviously a growth opportunity, and you look at, but then also this possibility of a plateau. And I mean, we're not in a fad, are we? I mean, we're beyond that.
I don't think it's a fad. And I think the plateau is probably explainable almost totally by iPhone 5. There was just something yesterday, I think, in the news, that a prediction that there will be a blip to GDP from iPhone 5.
Well, because
a noticeable blip.
Because we expected there to be, when they announced 4S, Siri, mm-hmm. when they announced that would perhaps be iPhone 5. And then even when the iPad was announced, they thought that perhaps iPhone 5 would be announced as well. So it has been something that's been obviously rumored for a long time. And so, yeah, that would hold people off.
But is the whole cell phone thing a fad? Is that your question?
I wonder,
or just the smartphone
thing? I wonder about smartphones. I wonder about, you know, I was in the city yesterday and I was, I noticed in maybe 5-6 different places, public places, where there was a very large campaign about is your phone smarter than you are? You know, your phone can be smart and you can be dumb, and making sure that you control the security of your device and that people don't have access to that and so forth. And I'm just wondering if there's any kind of a backlash or concern that would keep people or these numbers from growing.
Well, I think the numbers will grow, but yes, there is concern, and there are some people who, we all know people, lots of anecdotal stories of people who will not have a smartphone.
Right.
They don't believe in them, or they don't, you know, but the numbers are what's important, because if you go out and look at the reputable numbers like these are, they do keep growing, except for this plateau that we seem to have just gone through. They are growing, and it's the It's the uneven distribution of this technology that worries some people, worries many people.
I think it's, you know, it's fascinating to me that we've been talking about the iPhone for how many years now? It's been,
I think, 5.
Is it 5 years? The first one came out was 5 years ago?
I think so.
That seems much longer than that. Well, anyway.
I think you're right. I think Alexander Graham Bell did it right after he invented the coin phone. I stand corrected.
So you have iPhone that came out, and in a relatively short period of time, but it's still, when the first iPhone came out, of the price structure for those phones, I was looking at the iPhone 5 and the price structure. It's pretty much the same. It's almost identical.
Yes, and that's typical of technology.
Yeah.
Technology tends to get cheaper over time, and the visible part of it, in many cases, is what you just saw, that prices don't rise.
So we get a, out of this, iPhone or any phone will have this, you know, you get a better camera, you get more, you can store more on it, you can do more, you get faster, all of that stuff, which basically comes, I mean, not free, but it's not an additional charge.
It's usually not an additional charge, although the carriers are putting some additional charges on now, but because they are dealing with a finite resource, their networks. It's usually not with an additional charge. And one of the things that happens with this growth in technology is that it does change the way in which we use technology in some cases. For example, I tend to buy a new primary computer about every 3 years.
Yeah.
It's a little bit on the short end for 3 to 5 years seems to be fairly common.
Yeah, me too.
And because it comes with a faster processor
and
more storage space, I haven't cleaned off my hard disk in years because the next computer will have space for everything.
Right.
Whether that's good or bad, I don't know, but... yeah, we do. The prices are not really going up dramatically. And prices are overall starting to come down. I noticed the app effect, if you will, that I have a clock radio that I've had for a number of years. It's a very good clock radio, a wonderful sound. That is to say, wonderful sound until it started making a noise that was not pleasant to the ear. And it was very expensive, very, very good. I probably have had it for 20 years.
Yeah.
And since, particularly in the middle of the winter when it's dark until 11:30 in the morning, I set the alarm, of course, to a public radio station,
yes.
Usually you. And I thought I should have a clock radio that, you know, doesn't annoy me when it goes off in the morning. And I looked at the price to replace this clock radio, which had been very expensive, and it was several hundred dollars. And then I thought, I wonder if there's a clock radio on the App Store.
Oh.
And there are a number, and I read the reviews for them. There's two, as I recall, that I looked at that had clock radios specifically for public radio stations.
Wow.
So I could go out and replace this clock radio that I bought a few years ago for a couple of hundred dollars, replace it for the same amount, or I could get it, in the case of one of these, for nothing. The other one is pretty expensive. It's $2.95.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think hasn't yet sunk in to everyone, because I'm still surprised at this sort of thing, that with these mobile technologies that you can replace a $300 device with one that's $2.95.
Mm.
And arguably the $2.95 one has an advantage over the multi-hundred-dollar one, because since it has the iPhone interface and it's designed for public radio stations, you can take it with you if you travel and find a local public radio station. Because if I travel, you know, like I went to San Francisco in June to find a radio station to set the clock radio in the hotel room to that has music on it or that's a public radio station, it's a lot of trial and error. You sort of go to the low end of the dial. That's where they sort of hide down there. And it would be nice, had I known about it, I would have taken my iPhone, the $2.95 app, and looked up public radio station in San Francisco.
It is, it's fascinating technologically what they have replaced. But, I mean, you think of even things of you know, encyclopedias or even dictionaries or, you know, I mean, we tend to things that were yearly purchases even of an almanac or something. They just seem to be replaced because you can so quickly find that information.
And the ability to find information when you need it,
yeah.
To access it, or to, if you're distributing it, to do it that quickly really changes the way we use it. And I really, even though I'm in this field and I have worked with ebooks for 15 years
yeah.
since they didn't exist, I'm still amazed at it. And I really think, I don't know where we are on the technology curve, but where we are in terms of understanding and adapting to this new environment, I think we are only at the beginning. We really are only at the beginning.
I'm also fascinated, and I haven't seen any data, but this seems more anecdotal, but video game platforms, which were once huge, of PlayStation and Wii and Xbox, there's certainly an interest, and there's a core there. But I think that the casual player has now gone to just loading the game into their iPad or loading the game onto their phone.
Well, one of the things that I noticed, I'm not very much into computer games and video games, because as I tell people when they offer to give me Super Mario or whatever, Pac-Man at the beginning, you know, my idea of a computer game is sitting in front of the computer trying to get a clean compile of code. That's what I do.
It's the ultimate game, yes.
And, you know, so I'm not interested in this stuff.
Yeah.
So I've never really been terribly involved in it. But I did notice, particularly this year, looking at the apps, I don't know where the dividing line is on apps between games and books and education. There's an app, I think we may have talked about it before, called Where's My Water from Disney. It's listed as a game. It is wonderful. It is just, it is one of the great glories of American technology. Particularly so because this is the tradition of Disney. But if you look at that and look what they're advertising on the app, what you can do with it, what the characters are and so forth, they stress that one of the major features of that app, which involves water flowing, is the physics of the water on the screen. They worked on how the water flows. It's not just a blue ribbon. They want the flow of the water to be accurate so that you can understand and look at it and see, if you do something, here is where the water will go. And I'm not certain I can tell the difference between that as a game and a strategy within a game and that as learning something about physics.
Yeah. No, that's fascinating. I just found in my own family, and however much time, that rainy night where you have mm-hmm. the kids and you say, oh, let's play a board game. Well, now, I mean, the other night we were all passing around the iPad with Monopoly and Yahtzee and all those old standards, Scrabble, but we had them on the iPad.
And people are also, if for some reason you don't want to go out or the family has gone off to the movie, people are doing the same thing, playing Scrabble with someone they may never have met over the internet.
Well, that's more fun because you can be mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not regret it. Jesse Filer provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. His website is northcountryconsulting.com. A lot of cool stuff up there. You have the Pew numbers.
I have Pew numbers.
And some other things.
There's always links. Some stuff there.
Yes. It is northcountryconsulting.com. Jesse, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you very much, and travel safe.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.